This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. Cobo Convention Center has hired a company to dive into the possibility of selling the center's naming rights. Free Press columnist Rochelle Riley calls it incidental good news that 1950s-era Mayor Albert Cobo's name would be removed from the center. Cobo was controversial in that his urban renewal plans displaced African Americans in Detroit, a lot of them. Jamon Jordan is a historian and the tour leader for the Black Scroll Network History and Tours, and he joins us now. Tell me about this mayor, Albert Cobo.
Albert Cobo, who is the namesake of the Cobo Center, was the mayor from 1951 to 1957, and he is a controversial figure in Detroit's history. As mayor, he ran on a platform of segregation, keeping African Americans out of predominantly white neighborhoods. And, of course, in the middle of his, actually starting in the beginning, but really finishing a lot of it in the middle of his terms as mayor, his two terms as mayor, he demolishes or is part of the urban renewal policies in the city of Detroit and destroying the historic African-American neighborhood, Black Bottom, and, of course, the beginning of the destruction of the African-American business district, Paradise Valley. So he is, of course, highly controversial. Many people don't know this history. People know very little about Cobo. They just know that his name is on the convention center downtown. But his history is really it should be an infamous history, particularly for political leadership in the city of Detroit.
Now, we often hear about how Black Bottom was demolished, Paradise Valley disappeared. Why were those areas important to African Americans in Detroit? Tell us about them.
Yeah, so African Americans, as they were moving, leaving the South and coming to Detroit during the Great Migration, and African Americans were leaving by the thousands from the South because, of course, they were looking for economic opportunities in the North. Many African Americans were low-skilled laborers in the South and, in some cases, sharecroppers and tenant farmers, which was just really a step above chattel slavery. And so they were leaving those conditions in hopes of finding a better economic life for themselves. But they were also leaving as refugees from terrorism, because in the South, of course, this was the period of high levels of lynching, one or two African Americans being killed by mobs at least every day somewhere in the South. And so African Americans are leaving not just for a better economic life, they're leaving for life itself. And so they come to cities like Detroit and Chicago and Philadelphia and Cincinnati, and they're coming for a better economic opportunity, and the auto industry is one of the main drivers. And, of course, the wars as well, World War I first and then World War II, are the main drivers of African Americans coming to the city of Detroit to find better lives for themselves. And they run into Detroit's version of Jim Crow, which is housing segregation. At least that's a major part of it. And so they are concentrated in the Lower East Side of the city of Detroit. And that neighborhood is known as Black Bottom, not originally named that for African Americans, but named that for the soil. But eventually people forgot about the soil origin and began to speak of it in terms of the African American community. And since African Americans are discriminated against in housing discrimination and in property discrimination and in business, they create their own business district from their own cooperative activities and create a business district known as Paradise Valley. Of course, today, much of that is now the area where Ford Field and Comerica Park and, of course, the I-75 freeway sits, where formerly Hastings Street sat. But that was the Black business district, 350 Black-owned businesses by the 1930s. So that's a highly important area in Detroit's history.
If Albert Cobo was a racist mayor, why are we just now coming to grips with his name on the convention center?
Yes, a lot of the racism in the city of Detroit, particularly the racist political leaders in the city of Detroit, has been a hidden history, hasn't been talked about. Part of the blame, of course, lies with the media. This has not been reported. Of course, in the region, when people think of racially tense political leaders, Coleman Young's name always comes up. But what's missing is this intense racist history of white mayors in the city of Detroit. Albert Cobo is just one of them, but, I mean, Detroit actually had a mayor who was highly supported by the Ku Klux Klan, and many would argue was himself a member of the Ku Klux Klan, elected in 1930, Charles Bowles. But many people don't know that history as well. And so many of these political leaders are being given a second look, particularly by historians and especially by African-American historians like myself, but others who are beginning to look at the history of Detroit's battle with segregation, racism, and white supremacy.
The Detroit Regional Convention Facility Authority wants to sell the naming rights of the convention center. Rochelle Riley wrote that she'd like to see it named Joe Lewis Convention Center. But, you know, a corporate entity is not likely to pay for just that. I mean, it might be GM's Joe Louis Convention Center or the Dow Joe Louis Convention Center. Is losing Cobo more a matter of money or a sense of distancing the city from a sad chapter in Detroit's past?
Many people would probably call it a win-win on both levels. So, one, you'd be able to remove the name of a political leader with a racist legacy. And at the same time, you're able to bring in dollars. So the selling of the name rights probably is considered a win-win for both the political leadership in the city of Detroit and the business community. Of course, I do favor the idea of the Joe Louis. That would be my position, is to have something named after Joe Louis, who is a central figure in doing that same time period. Joe Louis, of course, comes up in Black Bottom and becomes a partner and business owner in Paradise Valley. So he's tied to that history, but in a different way than Albert Cobo. Albert Cobo, of course, is part of the negative portion of that sad history, while Joe Louis is kind of an inspiring figure in that same time period in those same areas. So I would like to see the Joe Louis name, because we're going to be losing the Joe Louis Arena soon. And so it would be great to have Joe Louis still tied to the history of the city of Detroit in a significant way. But I also understand the political and business realities that businesses generally give money so that their name is on the building. So I call it conspicuous compassion. And conspicuous compassion is they give the money, but they want everybody to know that they gave the money. So that's kind of what businesses want. So I'm sure if a company, a corporation, a Quicken Loans or a GM or a Myers would give their money to the naming rights, they're going to make sure that their name is on it. But I do like the idea of even adding Joe Louis into that as well. So it would be good if we could have Joe Louis's name on the building.
Hey, let me ask you a political question. Mayor Mike Duggan, who's running for re-election, is calling for the Cobo name to be changed. What's your opinion about that? Sincere or political opportunism?
Well, let's be clear. A friend of mine, a historian and activist in the city of Detroit named Dan Aldridge, has been calling for Joe Louis to be the name of the Cobo Hall ever since it was decided that the Joe Louis Arena would be destroyed. And so he's been saying that everywhere, on social media, in interviews. So my guess is that has trickled up to the political establishment. And so part of it is that it's become more known as he's been spreading that message. And it's, you know, it's even gone to Rochelle Riley's article and other people. So part of it is that. But of course, part of it is that Mike Duggan is a politician. So, of course, he is, I'm sure, testing the waters. Cobo's name, as it's becoming more known, is becoming attached to this sad history of racial discrimination and housing discrimination, particularly in the city of Detroit. And so having a political leader who's going to champion the removal of that name does tend to prove favorably in the African-American, predominantly African-American voting community in the city of Detroit. So my guess is it's at least a little of both. He's come to the knowledge of understanding that history. Maybe he didn't know it before or it was less visible to him. But at the same time, he's also running for office. And I'm sure that plays a part in his position as well.
Jamon Jordan is a historian and he's with the Black Scroll Network History and Tours. Hey, thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
Thank you very much.